There's a particular scene in a popular film directed by Ernst Lubitsch that is kind of a fan favorite. The film is The Shop Around the Corner, the one about two people who work there, side by side. They fall in love anonymously, by letter, even though in person they can do nothing but bicker.
Anna Karenina by Tolstoy.
The scene is at a cafe.
And a red carnation is a bookmark.
Where the two letter writers are finally set to meet.
Why don't you go in, Connie?
He's passing by the window, looking at her waiting at the table. She doesn't even know if he'll show up at all. You can see him through the glass, tentatively gazing at her. That's the shot that really gets people. Tender, anxious, great.
Oh, hello, Miss Novak.
And then he comes in, and they start to sort it out.
Quite a coincidence. I had an appointment here, too.
It's one of the many complicated and delicate and amusing moments in The Shop Around the Corner from 1940. Seeing that film on television many years ago was my own unforgettable introduction to Ernst Lubitsch, the director of both German and Russian heritage, who left Germany earlier than many, came to the U.S. while films were still silent, and then became the model of the European sensibility in Hollywood, making smart, subtle films about men and women.
That's hotel life. In one room, a man loses his wallet, and in another room, a man loses his head.
Certain people always remember their first Lubitsch film.
Well, the first Lubitsch film I saw, I was in college, and it was Trouble in Paradise back in the 60s, and it's a wonderful 1932 romantic comedy.
Joseph McBride's book, called How Did Lubitsch Do It, is a combination critical study and plea for an appreciation of the director. McBride does go on about Trouble in Paradise, his first love.
It's the highest of high comedy, sparkling dialogue and brilliant art direction, and it's an extremely soigné and adult film and made in the pre-code era when they could be pretty frank about sex.
In Trouble in Paradise, also a film about men and women, both the man and the woman are thieves, pickpockets, which they discover across the dinner table at a hotel.
I have a confession to make to you. Baron, you are a crook. You robbed the gentleman in 253, 5, 7, and 9.
So they're equals, two people in the same business. Lubitsch loved dramatizing how equals explored one another.
And let me say this with love in my heart. Countess, you are a thief.
One great pickpocket.
The wallet of the gentleman 253, 5, 7, and 9 is in your possession.
Meets another as they start revealing what they've stolen from each other.
I love you. I loved you the moment I saw you. I'm mad about you.
Though it's about an elaborate con game.
My little shoplifter.
It's a very serious film.
My sweet little pickpocket.
According to McBride.
My darling.
He likes to quote G.K. Chesterton, critic and author, with a version of the reversal, dying is easy, comedy is hard.
Chesterton said, it's very easy to be solemn and very difficult to be frivolous. And a lot of people accuse Lubitsch of being too frivolous or too light. But that's actually a very difficult thing to achieve, and it has that very light touch that's almost ethereal or ineffable.
An ethereal or ineffable touch? That word, touch. Just the name Lubitsch to anyone who knows his work, which according to McBride would be not that many people lately, brings to mind that old phrase, the Lubitsch touch. It has followed his work and reputation around, to the dismay of some, so by now it's almost like a trademark, which is actually how it began.
It's a marketing phrase. The critics started using it in the 20s, and I don't mind the expression so much because touch is a nice word. It has a certain connotation of sensuality and lightness, which is certainly part of his style.
Now let's talk it over from every angle without any excitement. Like a disarmament conference.
The deft balance of humor and seriousness, maybe that's part of it. It can be found in Design for Living, 1933, written by Ben Hecht from a Noel Coward play. It's about a threesome, two men, a painter and a playwright, and a woman, a commercial artist, who make a gentleman's agreement, an arrangement, to all stay together.
Well, boys, it's the only thing we can do. Let's forget sex.
Okay. Agreed. May be a bit difficult in the beginning.
But it can be worked out.
Oh, it'll be grand.
Save lots of time.
And confusion.
But the author says it is also true that the idea of a special, indescribable touch is reductive. It's a little like calling Hitchcock the master of suspense. It leaves a lot out. Ernst Lubitsch himself, in fact, used to joke about it. If you can figure out what it is, he said, please tell me. Though he added that if he actually knew what people were referring to, it might jinx his whole style. He really didn't want to know. The fact is, Lubitsch was right. He wasn't just one thing. Not if you see To Be or Not to Be, which is a very dark comedy about Nazis. Still comical, but with a different style.
Seletsky's here.
What?
At the Hotel Europa, just when I came from the bookstore, they took me to him.
With a troupe of anti-Nazi actors involved in an elaborate plot that no one can figure out.
You see, this all wouldn't have happened if the lieutenant had arrived before Seletsky. But they sent a plane for Seletsky, so Seletsky arrived before the lieutenant. Now, is that clear?
No.
They didn't really understand black comedies in 1942, and the film was attacked for drawing humor from such a tragedy.
I'm going to meet Herr Seletsky at Gestapo headquarters. And after I've killed him, I hope you'll be kind enough to tell me what it was all about.
It's a tribute to artists and underdogs who were outwitting brutes. Lubitsch wrote a very eloquent defense of the film in the New York Times and was defending laughter and comedy as a weapon against fascism.
So Ernst Lubitsch had a serious comic sensibility and made a film you could say was a precursor of Dr. Strangelove and a whole rash of ominous, hilarious films.
We understand that kind of film now, and that's one reason that's a beloved film, aside from its sheer audacity and brilliance.
Of course, a lot has changed since Ernst Lubitsch died in 1947. He was once Billy Wilder's mentor and idol, Orson Welles' giant, the so-called inventor of modern Hollywood. But the films are still there, so the author of How Did Lubitsch Do It just wants to be certain these movies, many of them downright obscure by now, get their due.
When you mention his name, I get that dreaded blank look like, who, you know?
A worthy goal.
And so I hope to change that.
It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.